Shalom, everybody. Shalom, all the students of Hebrew. I am not sorry, because if I said I was sorry, that would be a lie, right? I'm not sorry, but we're not going to talk about the final class that we would have had today, which would have been the pyramid. We would have been explaining to you the pyramid and the prophetic structures of the pyramid and who really built the pyramid and all of that stuff. If we're here, I'll do it next week, but I don't think we'll be here. So I'm being led by the Lord to make sure that last night's message was clear so that you are ready, you are prepared for what the Lord has planned for us as a body of believers. The scripture says that day should not take us by surprise, and I don't think it will take us by surprise if we are diligent and we are watching. And so I'm going to do my part in continuing our watch today, and we're going to go over last night's message, because if there are things that you didn't understand, I want to make sure that you understand them today, because it's November 1st. Praise God. And it is the seventh day of the Feast of Tabernacles in heaven, okay? Because God did not miss his calendar, even though Israel was not obedient with theirs. Okay, so what we were trying to get you to understand last night was that the Feast of Tabernacles and the rapture are two things that coincide together. Why do they coincide together? For us, because biblically we saw something in the book of Deuteronomy, and in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31, we saw in verse 1, ooh, we didn't even pray, huh?
Sure didn't.
I'm going to stop, and we're going to pray, and I'm going to thank you guys for logging in and for being here today, and everybody who logs into this message, okay, because I am going to pray first. And I'm not going to use one of the Hebrew prayers. I'm going to pray from my heart, okay? But I'm still going to pray in Hebrew and maybe English too. Abba, Shabbat Shabbaim, Baruch Shemcha Ayom, Toda Rabalaka Adonai Bishvil Chayom, Toda Rabalaka Bishvil Chadabarim Telcha, Anachnu Telefim Chayom, Al Chadabarim, אנחנו רוצים הדברים לחיות ברור, כי הכל אנשים, הכל עמך, מבינים הכל שר היום. ברוך שמך, אדוני, בשם ישוע חמשיה, אנחנו תלפים, אנחנו אומר תודה רבה לך, בשם ישוע חמשיה, and let's get started. Praise God. Anyway, what I prayed was that God would bless this word and make it barur, make it clear to your minds so that you would understand and get the message that is going forth today, okay? Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 31, as we've been going through this, and we have been on quite a ride, as we have been going through this incredible ride of watching for the rapture, because we know that the rapture is a true event.
Amen.
And we know that it's coming, and we know that it's the end of 6,000 years, and we know that it's the 120th Jubilee, and all this stuff that we know. So, and we know that the Jubilee year started in 2017, and it ends on the eighth day of Tabernacles this year, which we're on the seventh day, or we should say the seventh day of the Tabernacles. So in Deuteronomy chapter 31, Moses says something, and remember this, Moses' life is a replica of Yeshua's life, okay? They're doing the same things. This is what we need to understand. that Yeshua and Jesus' life are typologies of each other's life. So they're showing you what is going to happen here. Okay? So, anyway, so in verse 1 of Deuteronomy 31, Moses went out and spoke these words to all of Israel. I am 120 years old and I am no longer able to lead you. Okay? The Lord has said to me, you shall not cross the Jordan. The Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. Okay? So, what he's saying here is the same thing that Yeshua would be saying to the nations now, or to the Jews now. No longer will the Jews be able to be guided by the teachings of Moses. But Yeshua is going to bring you over. Why? It's 120 years now. Or in 2017, it's the 120th Jubilee now. And the end of the 100th Jubilee year is upon us, because the Jubilee, I thought, would end when the Jubilee starts, which is on Yom Kippur. But what Moses is showing us in this same chapter is that the Jubilee ends at Tabernacles, okay? And here it is in verse 9 of the same chapter 31. It says, so Moses wrote down this law and gave it to the priest, the son of Levi, who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, to all the elders of Israel. Then Moses commanded them, at the end of every seventh year, in the year of canceling debt, which is the Shemitah, the Jubilee, it says, during the Feast of Tabernacle, when all of Israel came to appear before the Lord at the place he will choose, and you shall read this before them in their hearing. So at the end of 120 years, but it happens, the gathering happens when? Jubilee, okay? Which we are in, the end of the 120th Jubilee, okay? And now we're about to be on the eighth day of that Jubilee, which is called the season of joy. It's the most festive day of the Jubilee, is the eighth day. And so the celebration of the eighth day is the most important when it concerning the Feast of Tabernacles. And it's the eighth day, okay? So now, there are prophecies concerning the fulfillment of the last feast days. And the last feast days are Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Tabernacles. That will happen at the end of the tribulation, but that will be 7 years from possibly to, you know, this week, okay, or 7.5 years from now, okay? That will not be the 120th year. That will not be the transferring of power over to Yeshua. That will be 127 years. So the transferring of power happens at the 120th year, which we all know now we're at the 120th year, or the 120th Jubilee. What else happened at the end of the 120th? The flood of Noah began at the end of the 120 years that God told him, you have 120 years and my spirit will no longer thrive with you. So the spirit is taking the church out of the world. It will no longer strive with them. And it's a prophecy that in 120 years, the spirit will no longer strive with you. The 120 years is a typology of the 120 Jubilees. 120 times 50 equals the end of the 6,000, because 120 times 50 is 6,000, okay? So now we're at the end of this, and Moses is telling us in Deuteronomy chapter 31, when this all happens, the gathering happens at Tabernacles. Now, when the gathering happens at Tabernacles, now we know a trumpet is supposed to be blown. When? During the month of Jubilee, there is a trumpet blown, okay? Okay, so a trumpet is blown during the year of Jubilee, but the trumpet is blown at Jubilee to gather, to get the people ready to be gathered on Tabernacle, because the gathering happens at Tabernacle, okay? So I want to go to the board and I want to explain something to you so you can see the two things that we were trying to make very clear to you last night, and you will not understand them unless you understand this, okay? Are you there, Pastor Ben? Okay, here we are. Now, from Adam, and I'm going to write up here Adam, because we're counting from Adam, from the time of Adam, okay? From the time of Adam to the 1,000 years was one day for God. A day is as 1,000 years, okay? This is God's counting, because God's working a work week as well, okay? He's working a work week, and if you read Genesis chapter 29, you realize he's working a work week because he's in love and he wants a bride, okay? So, from Adam to the 1,000 years was one day. From the beginning of the 1,000 years to the next, to the second 1,000 year was 2 days. From the beginning of the 2,000th year to the third 1,000 year was 3 days. From 3,000 to 4,000 was 4 days. And you have to realize something. On the fourth day is when you can now crucify, you can now kill the lamb. So now on this fourth day, Jesus Christ shows up in the world and BC turns to AD. So on this 4,000th year, Jesus Christ shows up, okay? Jesus Christ has gone from the 4,000th to the 5,000th year. That's the fifth day on God's count. And from 5,000 to 6,000 was 2,000, in this year 2017, began the sixth day, okay? So God is counting from Adam all the way to the current time of 2017, which was the sixth day, okay? Now that's very important because the transfiguration of Jesus happens after the sixth day. Now look, if this is sixth day here with Jesus Christ, you have from the 4,000 to the 5,000 was one day he's been gone. From the 5,000 to the 6,000 means he was gone for 2 days. 6,001 puts us early morning on the third day, okay? So we are on the third day from Jesus Christ, but we're on the sixth day after Adam. Do we understand that? Okay? If you're out there and you understand, type in, we understand, then I can move on. Okay. Now, so there are two events that are happening in Scripture that God wants you to know that something is going to happen after the sixth day, and something is going to happen on the third day.
They're typing in. Got
okay.
Understood.
All right. So now I'm going.
Please repeat.
Yes.
The Most High said, please repeat.
Okay. Now, here we go. From Adam to the end of the 6,000th year is 6 days. From Adam to 1,000, 1 day. 1,000 to 2,000 was 2 days. 2,000 to 3,000 was 3 days. 3,000 to the 4,000 was the fourth day. Jesus comes into the world because it's the fourth day, and now the Lamb can be crucified, okay? From 4,000 to 5,000, Jesus is gone, but that's the fifth day. From 5,000 to 6,000, which was 2017, was the sixth day. And so now the end of that work week is now here, the sixth day. We're now past the sixth day, okay? From Jesus, he'd been gone from 4,000 to 5,000 one day, from 5,000 to 6,000 2 days. Now we're past the sixth day. We're now early morning on the third day. Okay? So we're on the third day and we're after the sixth day. Understand? Okay, here we go. Now, two events happen In Scripture, one happens after the sixth day, another happens on the third day. Let's read those two events. The first event.
Yes.
Okay.
Because
it
was a glare.
Okay. Okay. Here's the first event that happens. It says, on the third day, we are on the third day. You have to understand, this is a prophecy about something that's going to happen on the third day. On the third day, there was a wedding, okay, that took place in Cana of Galilee. Jesus' mother was there. And Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My time has not yet come." His mother says to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby was 6 stone pots of water, okay? The kind used for the Jews in ceremonial washing. The end, okay, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to his servant, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim, and he told them, "Now draw some and take it to the master of the banquet." He tasted the water that had been turned to wine, okay? And now he says, "You've saved the best for now," okay? Now, the best has been saved when? For the wedding, okay? Now, why in this wedding ceremony that takes place on the third day, why do we have the story or the miracle of the wine and the water? Where does this symbol come from, mixing wine or making water into wine? Well, it comes from the Feast of Tabernacles. Because on the eighth day of the Feast of Tabernacles, there is a water libation ceremony. They're taking water from the Pool of Siloam, which is supposed to be anointed water. If you stepped in it, you could be healed. They're taking water from the Pool of Siloam, they're walking it up to the altar, and they're pouring the water from the silver vases. Okay, they got silver vases, and they're pouring, well, because what does silver represent? The blood, okay? They're pouring it, the water from the silver vase into the altar. And the other priests are pouring wine from silver vases into the water. So it's going inside of the altar and is mixing the water with the wine, okay? This happens at the Feast of Tabernacles on the eighth day, okay? It's called the water libation ceremony, and they're celebrating this day, okay? I have it here. They're saying that if you have never seen a joyous occasion, if you have never been to a water libation ceremony, it is absolutely a joyful day. And it's the eighth day of the ceremony, and the water is being mixed with the wine, but not until the eighth day. Okay. Now, that's one event that happens, okay? So we know on the third day, 3 days after Yeshua, okay, there's going to be a wedding, okay? And there's going to be a mixture of wine and water. Because it's telling you, by telling you wine and water, it's telling you the time or a symbol of something that's supposed to give you a hint to what day this is. Now we go to Matthew chapter 17. And in Matthew chapter 17, we are going to be right there in verse 1. Because listen, God is very precise in his wording, because he doesn't want you to say it happened on the third day, because if it happened on the third day, it would have happened in 2017. Because 2017, well, we were on the third day, okay? Now, it says, after the sixth day, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. Just then, there appeared before them Moses, Elijah, talking with Jesus. The symbol here is that when Jesus appears in his glory, a person who died but has now been resurrected and is standing with Jesus, and a person who never died, Elijah, is now standing with Jesus in his glory, okay? Now I'm going to give you a hint when this event happened. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good to be here. If you wish, I will put three shelters up, or three booths, or three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," letting you know that this event happened, because you don't just put up booths anytime. It has to be tabernacles. So it is during the time of tabernacles that Jesus Christ is being shown in his glory to people who died and are resurrected, and also to people who were taken without experiencing death. Okay. Now, so the second thing that you will see on the board here is that the tabernacle symbols are water and wine, okay? Because on the libation ceremony, the water libation ceremony, they're mixing water with wine. Other thing you're going to see is those who died and those who didn't die. And you're going to see that it's during tabernacles because they're going to be building booths. So all of this is in Matthew chapter 17, meaning that those who died and those who never died are there. And now he says he's going to build booths. So we've got a water libation service and we got building booths. So that puts both the third day wedding and the 6 day transfiguration both on the Feast of Tabernacles. Okay? So now I want to read this because this is what it says here. Check this out. It says, "The celebration of blowing of the trumpet is to prepare people for the Feast of Tabernacles, the gathering assembly, which starts with the Day of Atonement." Because the Day of Atonement begins it, that's the 10th day of Tishri, but 5 days later is the gathering, okay? We start the celebration of 7 days, and then the 8th day is the complete celebration of the water libation service. So what Moses was doing is that it's the 120th year, and here we are, power is going to be transferred, and it's the Feast of Tabernacles, okay? Now, I wanted to show you another thing here, okay? Let's look at one more thing here, okay? These are tabernacle symbols, water and wine, okay, which we see at the wedding. We see those who died and those who didn't die, okay? We see that in Matthew chapter 17. And we see them ask, "Hey, let's build some booths," so now we know it's tabernacles. The other thing that we have to be concerned with is the silver trumpet. And so I want us to go, to the silver trumpets. Let's go to Numbers chapter 10, okay? And Jason, I hope that you're watching this. Thank you for your message this morning, because if you were confused, then that means a lot of people were confused, and I don't want you to be confused, especially about this message, okay? because we're about to be on the eighth day of Tabernacles. Okay, now, if you're in Numbers and you're in chapter 10, verse 1, okay, now, you already have the shofar trumpets. You understand? You also already have the shofar. But God is telling Moses, I want you to build 2 silver trumpets, okay? Now, he says in chapter 10 of Numbers, it says in verse 1, the Lord says to Moses, make 2 trumpets of hammered silver. Silver because silver is the metal of blood, okay? Now, and use them for calling the community to gather and for having the camp set out. You see that? So that those silver trumpets are used for a specific reason. This is not the Rosh Hashanah trumpets, okay? This is a silver trumpet that's being used that God specifically tells Moses, I want you to make 2 silver trumpets, okay? Now, I'm going to try to get you to understand the silver trumpet, okay? Now, what are the silver trumpets for? The silver trumpets are so that they gather at the door of the tabernacle. So the priest is going to blow the silver trumpet. All the people are going to come and gather at the door of the tabernacle, okay? Now, the door here, okay, so the priest blows the trumpet, and they're going to gather at the door. So here it is. I'm going to read this. It says, to call the assembly. This is called the Tekiah trumpet, okay? It says, in addition to breaking camp, the silver trumpets were used to call various segments of the community assemble with Moses at the entrance to the dwelling, or the entrance to the tabernacle. In order to distinguish between the 2 types of structure, the tekiah of a single silver trumpet would signal the family's heads to assemble at the entrance of the dwelling with Moses. If both sounded, then the whole community was to gather at the entrance to the dwelling of Moses, which is the tabernacle. Okay, so the trumpets, it says, and when they shall blow the trumpet, in verse 3, when they shall blow the trumpet, all the assembly shall assemble themselves at the door of the tabernacle. So, the silver trumpets is to gather you at the door, okay? Let's go to Revelation chapter 4. We're going to be in verse 1. Ooh, Pastor Ben, this is going to be awesome because I hope it happens just like this. Check this out, you guys. It says, after this, I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet. Who's blowing this trumpet? You'll see the voice that like a trumpet said, come up here and I will show you what must take place after this. What's the trumpet? Who's blowing that trumpet? Only the priest can blow the trumpets. Remember, the trumpet was made for Moses to blow. Moses' life is resembling who? Jesus Christ. So Christ is blowing the trumpet and he says, come up here. And he says he saw a door standing, and he says immediately he was in the spirit and he was in heaven. Then it says in verse 4, around the throne was flashes of lightning, pearls, and thunders, and before the throne were 7 lamps blazing. So now the gathering of the church is where? At the door of the tent of meeting. When? On the eighth day. Okay? Now, when we get up there, will we see God in his glory? Yes. Will there be some people who died and are standing there? Yes. Will there be some people who are
who have not died and are standing there? Yes. Okay. Now, let's look at something else. Let's look at the prophecy of the eighth day. When we get up there, on the eighth day, God said, you must circumcise your son. Remember this. Israel is birthing a child before the travail of the tribulation. When she births us, okay, on the eighth day, flesh must be cut off. So we can't go on the first day of Tabernacles. It has to be on the eighth day, because on the eighth day is the only day that you can cut flesh away and start new, okay? So on the eighth day, the flesh must be cut off. So when we're raptured, the flesh is cut off, and that fulfills the typology of the circumcision, meaning on the eighth day, the flesh will be cut off. Now, the wedding is, when this happens, it will be on the third day. And we know there'll be wine, that the wine and water mix, because to get us as a bride, Christ was pierced, and out of his side came water mixed with blood. Okay? We will see Jesus in his glory. Okay, that's the third day, because we know it's going to be on the third day. The flesh is cut off on the third day, and after the sixth day in his glory. And so the prophecy of the eighth day and the new beginning begins when? What did Moses say? Moses says he's gathering the people for what? At Tabernacles. At the end of the 120. Okay? At the end of the 120, he's gathering people when? On Tabernacles. Okay? And now it's up to Yeshua to bring us all across into the promised land, both Jews and Gentiles, because even Israel will only be able to cross over after they call out to Yeshua to come and rescue them. Yeah. Okay? So, this is what I was trying to explain to you last night, is that the third day wedding and the sixth day transfiguration of Jesus Christ both happen on the same day. Because the end of the sixth day is also the third day. Because God is talking about the same thing. So the third day wedding and after the sixth day transfiguration, it's the same day. Okay? But those days, they can't just happen. They have to fulfill a typology and a prophecy. The word of God is prophecy. Revelation chapter, I think 19:10 tells us that. The word of God is prophecy. The circumcision has a prophecy. What is the prophecy of the circumcision? That on the eighth day, a child must be circumcised? Why? When Jesus was born, let's go to Luke. When Jesus was born, there was a circumcision. Luke chapter 2. I'm clicking today, Jason. Because I'm telling you, last night I almost didn't do the message because I said, Lord, I'm not ready to do this. I was almost crying in the booth, Pastor Ben. I was like, I'm not ready for this, but today the Lord has made it even more clear to me so that I can relate this message to you, okay? Now, in Luke, now watch this. In Luke, let me get my book here because my Luke. Okay, in Luke chapter 2, verse 10, okay? Luke chapter 2, verse 10, it says, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy. Okay? The Feast of Tabernacle is called the season of joy. Okay? Please do not listen to people saying that Jesus was born in the spring at Passover. Jesus Christ was born. John was born during Passover. Jesus was not born until Tabernacles, okay? So, he says here, but the angel said, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby enclosed lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men whom favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord had told them about. So when Jesus is born, angels appear singing with great joy. A whole host of heavenly angels appear singing in joy. And he's telling you, this is the time of joy and favor to all men. Okay? Tabernacles. Look it up. The Tabernacles. Another name for it is the season of joy. This is why Christ, because he came to what? Tabernacle amongst us. Okay? And since he was born on Tabernacles, and he's the head of the church, let's see if the body will be born on Tabernacles. Okay? Now, what I showed you last night, I want to show you one more time. And that is in the Gospel of John as well. And it is John chapter 19. John chapter 19. Verse 34. Okay? Jesus Christ is something else for him to do this instead. Oh, let's see. Is that it? I don't think that's it. Let me look at the paper here. I am not lost today. I am very much in tune. Okay, is John chapter 7, verse 37. Let's go back there. John chapter 7. Verse 37. Okay. And it says this. Now watch how it says it. It says, on the last day, okay, on the last and great day, what's called the last and great day of the feast, okay? There's only one last and great day of the feast. In Leviticus, he says, when you're celebrating the Feast of Tabernacle, you are to celebrate for 7 days. Then come out of your temporary booths, okay? Because now on the 8th day, I want you to celebrate one more time, okay? And when we celebrate one more time, we're going to celebrate with the water libation ceremony. We're going to mix water with wine. The priest is going to blow the silver trumpet. We're going to gather at the tabernacle, and we're going to party. We're going to take the water from the pool of Simone, which is anointed water, and we're going to mix it with wine. We're going to dance. And while they're doing this, everybody's dancing and everybody's singing, and they're pouring the water into the altar, and they're pouring the wine into the priest is turning the wine in, and they're dancing and partying, and they're celebrating, and they're singing, let the salvation of the Lord, the water of the salvation of the Lord be upon us, and they're singing, right? And then on this 8th day, Jesus, on the last and great day of the feast, Jesus stands up and says in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whosoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, streams of living water will flow from within him. You know what song they're singing? Let the waters of salvation overcome us. Let them bless us. Jesus stands up and says, if anybody wants the water, I'm it. And he does it on what day? He waits until the eighth day before he stands up and gives this proclamation. After he says this, people are standing around and they said, surely this is the Messiah. Surely this must be the Messiah. They know now that no one would make that proclamation unless they are the actual salvation, the water of salvation. And that's the water of Yeshua. Salvation is Yeshua. Okay. So this happens on that day. My goodness. So he waits to the eighth day and he does this on that particular day. Let me see. What was I trying to read in 19? Oh, in 1934, that's when he was on the cross and they pierced him in the side, and out of his side came blood and water. Okay. So we know that that blood and water produced what? What did blood and water produce? Think about this. When Adam was put to sleep and it pierced, and his side was pierced, a rib was taken out. And what did that rib produce? A bride. Amen. When Christ was on the cross and he was put to sleep and pierced in his side, the blood and water produces the bride. Because by the water, right, by his blood and by the water, we become the bride of Christ in believing in his in that salvation. OK, let's see if I want to continue. See, now I'm on one. OK, now we're going to go to another third day wedding, which is what I was trying to show you last night. And that is going to be in Exodus chapter 19. Because I read to you last night that Esther put on her royal robe when? On the third day. You think that was an accident? Okay. So there seems to be all these third day weddings happening. You understand? Here's the other third day wedding. And we're going to be in Exodus chapter 19.
Michelle Crabb said, let it rip, Sandy.
Thank you, Michelle. Okay. Okay. We're going to be in Exodus chapter 19, and we're going to be in, okay, we're going to start off at verse, should we start at 14? Moses had gone down to the to create the clothes. No, let's start reading at verse 7. Okay, let's start reading at verse 7. Because we're seeing what's going on here. Because you know what, you know what's about to happen here, right? Moses is going to, has gone up and he's talked with the Lord, and the Lord wants to give him a covenant to marry Israel, okay? He gives them the Ten Commandments. I want you to marry these people, okay? So Moses is coming down, and God is saying, on the third day, at the foot of the mountain, in the Hebrew, they're going to stand under the huppah, which is a wedding, and they're going to receive, and they're going to be married to God, because tongues of fire going to billow like it does on Pentecost. And this is going to be our marriage connection like it was in the New Testament, right? But this is going to happen here, and it's going to happen on the third day. So it says here in verse 7.
Pastor, I'm sorry, you're reading from Exodus 19.
Exodus 19. So here I go. It says, so Moses went back and summoned the elders of the people and set them before all the words of the Lord and commanded them to speak. The people responded together, we will do everything the Lord has said. So Moses brought their answer back to God. So now Moses brought the covenant to them, okay? And in verse 5, it says, now, if you will obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations, you will be a treasured possession. So Moses says, he goes to the people and he asks them, and he says, and they say this in verse 8, we will do everything the Lord has said. So Moses brought their answer back to God. God says, good, they've agreed to marry me. So he says, the Lord says to Moses, I am going to come to you in a dense cloud so that the people will hear me speaking with you and will always put their trust in you. Then Moses told the Lord what the people had said. And the Lord said to Moses, go to the people, consecrate them today and tomorrow. Have them wash their clothes and be ready by the third day. What's going to happen? He's going to marry them. Because on that day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. Put limits for the people around the mountain and tell them, be careful that you do not go up the mountain or touch the foot of it. Whosoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. He shall surely be stoned or shot with an arrow. Not a hand is to be laid on him. Rather, man or animal shall not be permitted to live. Only when the ram's horn, okay, sounds a long blast, may they go up to the mountain. Here we go. After Moses had gone down to the mountain to the people, he consecrated them and they washed their clothes. Then he said to the people, prepare yourself, what? For the third day, because there's about to be a wedding. Abstain from sexual relation. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning, thick clouds over the mountain, and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses, verse 17, then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Okay, and Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended in a fire, and smoke billowed up from it like a smoke from a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently. And the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, and Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. That was Israel's wedding day. Now, we could go on and on, but now you go to, we got 10 minutes? Good, we can't go on and on. So now we got to go to what? We got to go to Hebrews, right? Hebrews chapter 12. Because we see that they got married, okay? And we know that we're going to get married as well, right? But when we, on our wedding day, God wants us to know, don't worry, your wedding day is not going to be like theirs, okay? So he says this in verse 18, chapter 12, verse 18. Of Hebrews. He says, you have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further words would be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touched the mountain, it must be stoned. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. Okay, that was their wedding day. Verse 22, but you have come, when our wedding day, you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in what? Joyful assembly, the season of joy, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, the spirit of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. So this wedding
is going to be an assembly of angels, a great day of joy. Because what happens on the eighth day of Tabernacles is the season of joy. And the greatest celebration is when? On the eighth day, when the flesh is cut away.
Yes.
Okay. One more thing. What do we got, Pastor Ben? Okay, we don't have to go through one more thing. This is what I'm going to tell you, though. The pillars that Moses was leading them, he said, would be a pillar of cloud. The numerical value for pillars in Hebrew is 120, okay? The numerical value for congregation in Hebrew is 120, okay? So the congregation and the pillars are two and the same thing. When you read Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, this is what it says. It says, if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of truth. Mm. So the church of the living God is the pillar and foundation of truth. So when Moses said he's leading the people at a built by a pillar of cloud, 120, what do you think the Hebrew word for pillar is here? Okay. The numerical value of that is 1,200. So it's multiplied by 10. We haven't started gematria in our Hebrew class, but you're going to find out that the multitude of 10 from Hebrew to Greek shows you the truth of what God was talking about in the Old Testament. The multiple of 10 is going to tell you this is the truth, okay? Like the dove is going to be 10 times that in Greek, and it's going to be the Holy Spirit, okay? So all of them are multiplied by 10. So the church, the pillar of cloud, he's talking about the church. The pillars that Samson pushed out before the destruction come, he removes the pillars, the church is removed. Everything about the pillars, and he's blowing the silver trumpet, and he's leading them in a pillar of cloud, because we're talking about a church event. He says, let them wait for the third day. Yes. We're on the third day.
Yes.
We're on the third day. After the sixth day, there's a transfiguration. We're after the sixth day. Now we're in the month of Tishri, and we're about to be on the eighth day of Tabernacles. And it seems to me that it's going to fall about on what? November 2nd and 3rd, between those days. Okay? So we're on short time. If all prophecy hits perfectly, we will be out of here. And after this, I don't even want to talk. The Lord told me don't even talk about anything. 2 weeks ago, or a week ago, he told me what? Don't talk about anything except the eighth day, the 8 days, okay? That's all I'm talking about. I'll see you at the cloud party. I only know two dances, the running man and the bump. So I hope you're ready. I won't bump you too hard, and we're going to have a great time, okay? Beshem Yeshua HaMashiach, Todah Rabalaka Adonai Ane Margish Yoter Tov. I feel much better. Okay. Because last night I just felt like, how am I organizing this message so that you can understand that the third day and the sixth day, the transfiguration and the wedding are the same day. Praise God. All right. So, Lehitriot. Beshavua Haba, we will continue class next week, and you have your tests. Make sure that you turn in your tests. But I don't think, if you start on it today, maybe you can hand it to me at the party, but I'll be kind of busy. But I'm just letting you know, time is short. Praise God.
Beautiful.